The Gill Farm. Little remains of this large farm except for a well and the foundations of a house and barns. Look for the remains of an old truck, which was probably used to deliver milk to Camp Penn. The boys at Camp Penn worked on the farm when the camp operated in the early 1900s. Caution! The well hole may be hidden in the grass. Proceed with care. Indian Point. During the early days of the American Revolution, General Benedict Arnold prepared for a major British invasion down Lake Champlain by building a fleet of small gunboats in Whitehall, New York. Arnold's fleet met a larger, better armed British force here on Valcour Bay on October 11, 1776. If you were standing here that day, you'd see a line of small American boats firing cannon at British vessels struggling against a strong headwind. The Americans, battered by the superior firepower of the British, made a dramatic escape that same night. Several American vessels were lost, including the gunboat Philadelphia, which was raised nearby in 1935. The vessel now resides in the National Museum of American History in Washington, D.C. The heroic actions of General Arnold and his men delayed the British from reaching the Hudson Valley in 1776, giving the Americans more time to prepare for the strategic victory in Saratoga in 1777. Here is an excerpt from the Turning Point Trail, created by Lakes to Locks Passage, a driving tour where you can discover how British General John Burgoyne's military campaign through Lakes to Locks Passage changed the course of world history. The Turning Point Trail can be found at passageport.org.
So it is October 1776. Just a few months after the Declaration of Independence was signed and the conflict was heating up. Now, if you were standing at this spot way back then, you would have had an extraordinary view of an epic naval battle. The British were coming down from Canada on the offensive. There were at least 30 British gunboats, and opposing them is Benedict Arnold.
Benedict Arnold? The traitor?
He's no traitor at this point. He's been a vital part of the uprising in America, and is bravely commanding an armada that is outmanned and outgunned. Imagine, way out in the middle of the lake towards the Vermont shore are the British coming from the north full sail whizzing past us in their enormous weapon-laden ships, followed by thousands of soldiers in bateaux, which are really just oversized rowboats.
Oh.
Yes, indeed. Willing to take a battle against the strongest navy in the world was a makeshift armada with untrained soldiers. Arnold described them as
a wretched motley crew.
So he had to be cunning and use this landscape to his advantage. Being outmanned and outgunned, the crew tucked in and around those islands and coves, knowing that the great British gunboats would not be able to detect them there. Arnold's crew was mostly farm boys, but they were scrappy and resilient. Here's what Arnold wrote to his commanding officer, General Philip Schuyler.
We are as well prepared for the enemy as our circumstances will allow. They will never have it in their power to surprise us. At 11 o'clock, they ran under the lee of Valcour.
Lake Champlain can be fickle. It was October, and the British had a strong wind behind them, and they flew right past Arnold and his hidden fleet. On board the ship Maria, British General Sir Guy Carleton did get a glimpse of them, but just a little late. The strong wind had caught the sails, making changing direction difficult and time-consuming. This was General Carleton's account.
We found the rebel fleet behind the island of Valcour, after we had, in this manner, got beyond the enemy. The wind, which had been favorable to bring us there, however, entirely prevented our being able to bring our whole force to engage them, as we had a narrow passage to work up, ship by ship, exposed to the fire of their whole line.
The strong southerly wind prevented the larger ships from participating in the battle, which left the fighting to about 20 gunboats. By noon, the fight was heating up.
At 12:30, the engagement became general and very warm. Some of the enemy ships and all their gondolas beat and rowed to within musket shot of us. They continued a very hot fire, with round and grape shot until 5 o'clock, when they thought it proper to retire about 600 or 700 yards distance and continued fire until dark. The Philadelphia,
that's one of Arnold's ships,
was hauled in so many places that she sank about an hour after the engagement was over. The whole killed and wounded amounted to about 60. We suffered much from want of seamen and gunners. I was obliged myself to put most of the guns on board the Congress.
That's the ship Arnold is commanding.
Which I believe I did with good execution.
Night fell, a great darkness. Arnold's armada was seriously battered. He consulted with the other captains and determined that their boats could slip past the British ships in the darkness of night.
It was thought prudent to return to Crown Point, every vessel's ammunition being 3/4 spent, and the enemy greatly superior to us in ships and men. At 7 o'clock, the Trumbull got underway. The gondolas and small vessels followed, and the Congress in Washington brought up the rear. The enemy did not attempt to molest us.
So they got away?
The next morning, the cold wind from the north met the lake, which was still holding on to summer temperature. You can imagine quite a fog developed. Carleton woke up, looked out through the fog. He was sure that the Americans were still there, but then he saw what looked like the shadow of a ship. He ordered fire and fire again, but the ship was indestructible. The cannons were doing nothing. The fog finally lifted, and Carleton and his men found themselves staring at a piece of a small island. So now they call it Carleton's Prize.
Carleton's Prize? Kind of funny, but not so much for him. Is that story true?
Yes, it is. Cannonballs have even been found on that island.
Oh.
We then anchored in a line opposite the rebels, within the distance of cannon shot, expecting in the morning to be able to engage them with our whole fleet. But to our great mortification, we perceived at daybreak that they had found means to escape us unobserved by any of our guard boats or cruisers, thus an opportunity of destroying the whole rebel naval force at one stroke was lost.
The Americans just slipped away.
On the whole, I think we have had a very fortunate escape, and have great reason to return our humble thanks to Almighty God for preserving and delivering so many of us from our more than savage enemies.
To learn more about this battle, visit www.historiclakes.org/Valcour_battle.